Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number 1 to speak. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, in the news. Tonight, PT takes a look at the U.S. aid to Ukraine, the massacre Buffalo, New York, monkeypox, and maybe more. U.S. Senate gives final congressional approval to $40 billion aid package for Ukraine. No doubt about it. These guys are in the, you know, fight of their life over there in Ukraine. Sure enough. And they could use some help. No, absolutely. No doubt about it. Right? So they say help is on the way. I don't know how Russia's going to take that. Maybe they will drop a bomb on us or something. Who knows? Anyway, the Senate overwhelmingly approved of the $40 billion package of military and economic aid for Ukraine, sending the legislation to President Joe Biden for his signature just 3 weeks after he proposed it. It was an 86-11 vote to gain final congressional approval for the package. 86-11. That's very important for citizens to pay attention to how your Senate, right, spends taxpayer dollars, or supposedly taxpayer dollars, right, what they view as important, what, who are they willing to help, right? So, they say, they call it a historic decision for the U.S. Senate to provide Ukraine $40 billion in aid. You know, and they hoping that, you know, Ukraine, you know, wins their war. Anyway, you know, repels Russia from out of their country boundaries, right? So, they said when Biden signs the bill, it will bring the total amount of U.S. aid approved for Ukraine to well over $50 billion since the Russian invasion began in February 24th. That's $50 billion. They said they're doing the fighting. They're the ones getting killed. They're the ones struggling and suffering. Remember that. They said that about the Ukraine. They identified they're doing the fighting. They're the ones getting killed. They're the ones struggling and suffering. The least they can do is give them the weaponry they need, right? Legislation contains $24 billion for weapons, equipment, military financing for Ukraine, and to cover the cost of restoring U.S. weapons stock sent to the region. So I guess... Well, I don't even know. How do you feel about that? How y'all feel about your Senate overwhelmingly allocating $50 million to Ukraine? They're not U.S. citizens, right? They do need help, as do other people on the planet. I'm sure there's a lot of folks in Africa could use $50 billion, $1 billion. But most of all, I just had the funny feeling that there's some folks right here that could use some support like that. You know, that is American tax dollars. Where's the economic support for America? For Americans, where's that economic support like that? And I'm talking about specifically a particular population in America, right? For the U.S. Census, right? Let's say there are basically 37.3 million people in poverty in 2020. According to the official poverty measure, In contrast, there were 29.8 million people in poverty that same year, according to the supplemental poverty measure. So basically, there's a lot of folks in poverty here in this country. I'm just asking a question here. They just gave $50 billion to Ukraine. I'm just saying. Homeless population. Yes, the homeless. I know there's a lot of homeless people in the Ukraine right about now. You know what I'm saying? Lots of homelessness. Right? In the United States, there are over 500,000 people experiencing homelessness. 500,000. I'm just asking. $40 billion, $50 billion to Ukraine. What about investing in schools? Why does, this has nothing to do with this, but why does the superintendent of schools of the school district earn more than the mayor? That's a little sidebar question. I always wondered that. I should have had a show on that by itself. That's a Philadelphia thing, though. I don't know if it's happening anywhere else. I should check it out and see just what the going rate is for a school superintendent. Anyway, needless to say, that $50 billion is more than enough money to end most of the poverty scenarios in America and still have some money left. Why? Because poverty is the facilitator of crime, violence, failure to thrive, little to no self-esteem, hopelessness, desperate ideologies. $40 billion could definitely end homelessness in America and create jobs in America, but that would be too much like right. I guess that would make us come more like a socialist state. And I guess that's a bad word in this country. Or anyway, even though we have socialist policies. But that would be too much like right. If it's our tax dollars, our as in U.S. citizens' tax dollars, even though I don't know a U.S. citizen who prints or distributes money myself. I'm sure maybe there's somebody who's a U.S. citizen that does that. Anyway, if it's our tax dollars, why wouldn't we support our countrymen, our citizens? That same with that same energy, as they like to say. Why don't we have the same energy for ending poverty? I mean, because as a result, there's people dying, you know, crimes being committed, people losing their homes, people who can't find homes, you know, so just right here. The question is, how does the government, by the people, for the people, right, ignore the needs of its own citizens and come to the financial aid of non-citizens in or outside of America? As we know, we have some Ukrainian folks seeking asylum in the United States, right? Had a conversation. A friend of mine alluded to the fact that, or the idea, that I won't say fact, because who knows what the facts are. The idea that because of this whole thing about white people not reproducing themselves, they're trying to get more voters. That's a hell of a move to get more voters. I hope that that is not the case. But that's a hell of a move to get more white votes. Anyway. USA Facts. What counts as poverty in the United States? The federal government defines poverty based on household size and income. They say in 2021, a family of four would be considered impoverished by the government if the household income was at or below $26,500. So I guess that's the mother, father, two kids. In contrast, the median household income for a family with the same size was $90,657. That's very interesting right there. I guess anybody I know lives below the poverty line. Including me. Anyway, the government uses poverty threshold to determine eligibility for some government services. Those programs can include housing, health care, food, or income assistance designed to set a basic standard of living. How many people live in poverty in the U.S. is how and how has that changed over time? As of 2020, 11.4% of U.S. lives in poverty. So you might say it's not a lot. And if it's not a lot, why does it still exist? That's 1%, 1 percentage point increase over 2019. So poverty is increasing. The first poverty rate increase in 6 years. We had a poverty rate increase, but we're sending $50 billion to Ukraine. And I'm not even counting the money we send to Israel. We spend on Israel, another sovereign nation. You know, just keep in mind that the government is by the people, for the people. And we have a poverty rate increase, the first in 6 years, they say. The pandemic played a role in that millions of people lost their jobs and had their lives otherwise affected by COVID-19, as you know. Some people refused to get down with the COVID-19 vaccine. So Biden said you either get down or lay down. So you had to get up out of that, lose your job. Or get the jab, right? So we've been going on Biden doing a gangster thing. And a lot of people lost their jobs just basically on the whole COVID thing, shutdown and things like that, right? So anyway, compared to historical numbers, the current poverty rate is low, they said. In 1959, it was a 22.4% of U.S. households fell below the poverty level. 59, right? In the 1960s, had the biggest decrease in poverty, dropping to 12.1% in 1969, right? Since then, the percentage of people in poverty has fluctuated with economic recessions and expansions. The Great Recession pulled the poverty rate to 15.1% by 2010. Subsequent recovery put poverty at a record low of 10.4% as of 2009. So, I don't know about you guys, but is it just me asking the question, how do we have people living in poverty and we loaning out, dealing out, shelling out, giving out $50 billion? I'm trying to wrap that around my head. How is that possible? Isn't that kind of like, my kids don't have no shoes, and I'm buying shoes for the kids. Well, maybe one of my kids don't have shoes, and I'm buying shoes for the kids in the house down the block. I'm just saying. It just, I don't know. Makes me wonder, hey, what kind of democracy is this? And who's in charge? Because I know if we ask any poor people, any people living below the poverty level, how do you feel about giving $4 billion to the Ukraine that they're fighting a war over there, and they need help, economic help. I'm sure they would be, their response would be, hey, I'm living in a war zone here, and I need economic help. Right? I need a house, and I need to get out of this war zone. Right? I mean, you're going to start talking about the homicide rates in Philadelphia, Chicago, some of the places down south, with Atlanta, Louisiana, all the places. We're not going to get into that, but, you know, it's a war zone, right, in some places in this country. People are dying. Sure, it's a different type of war. Nonetheless, dead is dead. People without housing are people without housing. In this case, the people without housing belong to a nation who has $50 billion to deal out. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean to offend nobody with that, but it just seems a little odd to me. You know, I'm going to make sure my kids have shoes on their feet before I buy shoes for the kid down the street. I'm not going to take, you know, I'm not going to neglect mine to do for somebody else's. You know what I'm saying? No. You know, I don't know. So because homeless, this thing going on, you know, so the homeless population is more likely to be in the black and male and black compared to U.S. overall, right? In 2020, about 61% of the people experiencing homelessness were male compared to 49.2% of the total population and 39% black compared to 14.2% of the total population. In 2020, close to 1 in 5 homeless Americans were children, or 106,364 children in total. So, am I asking too much here? Am I being, well, I know I'm being unrealistic and definitely idealistic also. But the reality should be, idealistically, that you take care of your own somehow. It's a historical event to provide $50 billion to Ukraine. So, I mean, it's not the first country to be to have been invaded. So, trying to wrap that around my head. How come we have $50 billion? To give to Ukraine. So I guess I'm going to try to answer my own question. One of those reasons might be because, one, we are not giving the money. We are not charging the money. We are powerless. There is no us in the U.S. There is the U.S., and then there's you. And therefore, you are powerless, you know, in that scenario. So therefore, there are certain individuals, interest groups, who are determining who gets help. Because that's what I'm talking about. Who gets help? Who is determining who gets help here? Certainly the citizens of this country. Do they even know that they're giving $50 billion? I wonder if they know. How many people know that? Yeah, and how do they feel about that? You know, they feel about Ukraine getting $50 billion while you in a homeless shelter, or you know, sleeping up under your mom's house with your kids, or you know, just lost your house, your job, you know. How you feeling about all that? And it's not a COVID thing that we're talking about. I just said that homelessness. It's a continuous phenomenon in this country. How so? So, as my friend said a long time ago, when you see something repeating itself, it's not an accident. It's by design. So, homelessness, poverty, continues in this country. That has to be by design. Because look at the energy they have towards helping the Ukraine. Because they're doing this to end the war. So while we don't have that same, I keep saying we, y'all know I mean that figuratively, right? Because I make no decision, have no power in this country, right? Because I damn sure when it sends $50 billion to Ukraine, why people here don't have a roof over their head, need a roof over their head, need health care, decent health care. And it should be no such thing as health care that's subpar. That doesn't even make sense. Anyway, we need education, educational uplift, facelift. I'm sending $50 billion out of the country to the Ukraine. How do the U.S. citizens benefit from that? See, this, you know what? Just thinking about it, me even saying this sounds so, like it's not about U.S. citizens. This is about the people who have power. So we know that. Well, let's just say we are going to, that's our theory. That's my theory. Because it can't be about the common man in this country. I would like to know if there's one U.S. citizen bills $50 billion U.S. dollars should go outside of this country anywhere while folks in this country can't get health care, can't get medical care if they don't have enough money or, get any substandard education because they live in certain areas of the country. I don't know. Maybe it speaks to the great divide and the fact that the country is ruled in, as they say, it's layers to this game. And we're on the bottom of the totem pole. So you really don't count. So anybody want to say anything about that? Comment about the whole giving $50 billion to the Ukraine. I'm not saying that these people don't need help. And I don't know what kind of a friend they are to the U.S. I don't know. They owe them something to make some backdoor agreements or something like that. I don't know what the dealio is. I just know that if you had $50 billion right before you made this deal with the Ukraine, why do we have poverty? Why do we have homelessness in this country? Is it because we have a group of people that this country doesn't care about? They don't have that same energy, share that same energy about their survival, because it definitely sounds that way. It looks that way. Just on the, I'm just using Ukraine as an example because foreign aid, period. I'm trying to figure out how that happens. And you have people here in need. Not rocket science. Okay. So that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. Anybody, no comments? Anybody good with that? Because I'm going to move to the next thing because we got poverty, homelessness here, health issues, education issues. Of course, they're not in the influence. Neighborhoods, right? Communities, right? And oddly enough, a lot of minority groups in these communities are also, right? So, y'all okay with that? Because I'm not. I'm saying something's wrong with this picture. The same energy they're using to help Ukraine fight for survival. You need to help the impoverished people in this country fight for their survival. Anybody want to say anything? All right, moving right along, right? From Rutgers. This was a very, very disturbing situation here. It was a gunman. They called him a gunman. I don't know why they didn't mention this guy's name a lot. They don't want to mention his name too much, I guess. Gunman killed 10 in live stream. He videotaped it while he was killing some people in a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. Well, that speaks for itself right there, right? First, I'd like to say, what a weak and cowardly act. I mean, you can't express your fear and ignorance, you know, in a better way. Excuse me. So basically, 18-year-old white gunman shot 10 people to death, wounded 3, right? In a black neighborhood in upstate New York, Buffalo, New York. I didn't even know it was black people in Buffalo, New York, seriously. But I guess they are everywhere. Before surrendering, after what authorities called an act of racially motivated violent extremism. Lebanon, 13 people were black. 2 others were white, right? The suspect is Peyton Gendron of Conklin, right? A town of about 5,000 people. So he's from a very small town in New York's southern tier region, right? Near the Pennsylvania border. What's that? So that's near. So he, he was arraigned, you know, after the shooting. Of course, he was on first-degree murder charges, which carry a maximum penalty of life in prison without parole. Pay close attention to that, because this is not over. New York has no capital punishment, but he just dealt out some capital punishment to some folks that were shopping. And the judge ordered Gendron to remain in custody without bail and to undergo a forensic examination. So, as I said, you know, this guy just dressed in a military type uniform, armor, body armor, drove miles. I forgot how many miles it was, but he drove a great distance to where he could shoot some unarmed black folks. What a hero. I don't think anybody wearing a swastika, white hood, I don't know. If y'all call this dude a hero, you guys are showing your colors. They said he had come close to taking his own life before he was arrested. Pay close attention to this now, because you got to understand. This guy came, I forget how many miles it was, he drove with an assault rifle, some kind of cam on his head, his helmet or something, body armor, right? Turn a grocery store parking lot, and the store itself into a duck shoot, basically. Killing people from, you know, contact. Yeah, come close to killing, taking his own life. He just killed 10, shot 13. They say he come close to taking his own life. So, of course, you know, I am in total disagreement with that. Really? He was able to kill 10, wound 3, but unable to take his own life. That is believable only if his gun jammed. And then again, not even then, he could have made the police kill him. Right? So I don't know why they think this guy want to take his own life just because he put the gun to his neck. Seems more like he wanted to live to me, because all he had to do was pull the trigger. And he could have pulled the trigger before he walked outside. So, looked like this guy was intent on murdering simply because that is what he did. He hardly wanted to die that day because he had too many opportunities to do so. Somehow, the writer interpreted this putting the gun to his neck as he wanted to kill himself. Sure, it's a suicidal ideation, but after you just murdered 10, shot 3 people, made a decision, conscious decision not to shoot one white dude, right? Hey, wait a minute, the guy said. He said, oh, excuse me. You know. So he's not even out of his mind. This is who he is. Right? Do you really think he could do all of that? That he planned to take his life. He's only able to kill other people, but not himself, really. That doesn't even make sense to me. When confronted by the officers at the store, the suspect held a gun to his own neck. They talked him into dropping a weapon and surrendering. Y'all hearing this? I know y'all brothers hearing this. Talked him into dropping a weapon after he just murdered 10, shot 3. Body armor on. Had on a military. Had to look like he's in the military. Shot and killed 3 people in the parking lot. A guard was one of the 10 people he shot, right? 9 others, all were customers, right? 3 others were employees. I think, the 3 were wounded, but they're expected to survive. They said he looked like he was in the army. Because he had on the camouflage, you know, get up, right? Saw him shoot a woman. She was just going into the store. Then he shot another woman. She was putting groceries in the car. Said she hit down because she didn't know he was going to shoot her. They say they're going to investigate the crime as a hate crime and an act of racially motivated violent extremism under the federal law. And this guy just killed 10 people. I don't even know what kind of investigation you need to do. Just killed, murdered, cold-blooded, filmed, and killed 10 people. Anyway, it was a straight-up racially motivated crime, hate crime. Somebody outside of the community says, brother, this guy's not from their community. U.S. President Biden decried the shooting as abhorrent to the very fabric of this nation. Hate must have no safe harbor. Well, we know about the fabric of the nation, you know, and I'm not going to get into all that strange fruit stuff and the raping and robbing and murdering and butchering black folks, you know, but historically, up until present times, apparently. But no executive order in defense of black folks for Biden, right? You remember? I don't know if y'all remember. This guy was killing these Asians. And executive order shot out from Biden. Right? I don't know if y'all remember that or not. Remember Biden issued executive order? When the members of the Asian community were targeted for death. It appears that the government has no problem creating legislation that specifically is designed to oppress black people. There's been no problem with that. Reinforcing man, segregation, you know, all that good stuff. You know, blacks here, whites here, can't marry a white person, stuff like that, you know. They have no problem creating legislation specifically to oppress black people. But to create legislation specifically in the interest of black people appears to be an impossible task. Is it some kind of unwritten law? That's what I'm trying to figure out now, because Biden just wrote one for Asian folks getting gunned down under the same kind of... And it's not the first time it's happened to black folks, you know. Dylan Root. He got taken to McDonald's or Burger King somewhere. Didn't Biden say that black folks, he had their back because they supported him in his presidential bid? Well, I'm trying to understand. Help me understand, because I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. How? No executive order for black folks. Not that that's going to stop a guy from doing that anyway. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just looking at how Joe Biden is reacting to these scenarios. Shoot some Asians, executive order. Shoot some blacks, lip service. Okay. Not even a executive order to defend the lives of black people in this country. New York Governor Kathy Hochul, she said the killer managed to live stream his attack on social media, which she blamed for hosting a feeding frenzy of violent extremist ideology. Social media is the problem, right? It was a document circulating online that appeared to have been written by this monster killer. It sketched out a to-do list for the attack, including cleaning the gun and testing the live stream. So he was very conscious in his right mind about what he was doing. In addition, a 180-page manifesto outlining the great replacement theory. The idea that white people are being replaced by minorities in the United States and other countries also circulated online, reportedly authored by Ginger, right? That's the killer, the murderer, right? So basically, he's got a problem with the white population not replacing itself. And I don't know if you guys know, but white folks make up approximately 57-point-something% of the population of the United States now. Before it was more than that. It was 60-something%. Now it's 57-point-something, according to somebody. So he's got a problem with that. And I guess he's thinking that the 13% of the population, right, is the cause of that. This genius. So I guess they don't have good high schools where he come from either. Because his solution was to kill people to depopulate minorities. And he went for black people. So this genius, racist, thought it would increase the white population by killing people out and inside of a grocery store in Buffalo, New York? If that were true, why would he threaten to kill himself? He wants to increase the white population, right? Why would he threaten to kill himself? That makes no sense. Wouldn't that contribute to the decline of the white population? As a matter of fact, why would he be so stupid as to do something that someone would kill him, because he would have been killed if that the ex-police officer slash security guard had probably kept shooting instead of shooting twice at this guy. He maybe shot him somewhere where it counted. But that didn't happen, right? So once he takes himself out of the reproduction race, because he can't reproduce in prison, so to speak, right? How is that going to take taking another white man out of the reproduction arm line is not going to help white people reproduce themselves. You're not going to kill up all the black people, because before you can get close to that, there's going to be a lot of folks dead. You don't think they're going to take that lion down? The body armor says he did not want to die that day. If he wanted to kill himself as much as he wanted to kill those innocent, unsuspecting black people, he would be dead. At one point, the video shows he aimed at a white person hiding behind a checkout counter, but said sorry and didn't shoot. He's apologizing. He's apologetic. When police confronted the gunman as he exited the store, he put his rifle to his neck, then dropped the gun and surrendered? How? And this is a serious question. How on earth was this white man able to continue to move with a lethal weapon after murdering 10 and wounding 3 people? How is that possible? He exited the store with AR-15 looked like. Body armor and looking like he was in Afghanistan somewhere. How was he able to continue to move? What happened to that "I fear for my life" thing? This guy actually just killed 10 innocent people. He wasn't in a firefight trying to defend anything. He was murdering people. He was able to walk out of the store with his weapon, place it under his chin. Not a shot fired. But the reason why I'm saying this is because I have personally had armed police tell me to stop walking or they were going to shoot me. And I was about 15 years old, unarmed, and there was no evidence of a crime or a weapon, no evidence of a homicide. You feel me? I'm just saying, is white privilege working like that? That they just comfortable? You comfortable with this guy? Did they know he's going out to do that, or they wasn't going to shoot them? I'm trying to wrap my head around it, because Orlando Castillo got shot. That was his name, Orlando. He got shot reaching for his registration at point blank range. God, fearing for his life, he could see the guy reaching for a gun because he already told him, "I'm licensed to carry. Hey, just want you to know I'm licensed to carry. So I'm going to reach over here and shoot you with my woman and my baby in the car." He shot this man at point blank range multiple times in broad daylight. Somebody help me with this. Because I was 15 years old in Philadelphia, right? And this is Buffalo, New York. Somebody help me with this. They're two different places. I get it. Two different time periods. I get that, too. But still, brothers are being murdered today. I wasn't shot. But I stopped. Because I seen people shot, and I didn't want that to happen to me. So, anyway, how was he able to do that? I might have think that this murdering monster was not a lethal threat. Is that the idea? Because I'm trying to wrap this around my head. Because I know normally you look at that situation. Oh yeah, they were able to resolve the issue without further bloodshed, right? That's the good part. That's a good scenario, right? Which is what happened. But damn, if ever there was a lethal threat, it's this guy. And I'm just trying to wrap my head around how I see guys get shot in parking lots running from police. You know, guys, traffic stops, resisting police, trying to arrest them, getting a knee in the back, point blank, shot in the back of the head. You know, I'm trying to wrap this train of thought how. I know some people are saying, you know why it's happening. And you know what? You're probably right. But I'm having a discussion on radio. And I'm asking, does anybody else think that's a hell of a coincidence that this brother is allowed to walk out with a AR-15, I don't know what, I think it's an AR, I don't know what he had. He just murdered 10 people. He came with the gun in his hand. Somebody help me. Breonna Taylor, boyfriend shot one time. Lit up her house and the house next door. The irony is that unarmed black people have been murdered by police for moving during traffic violations, fleeing police, reaching for the paperwork, and driving away. As I said, Lando Castillo, I think that's his name, was reaching for his registration. He was murdered at point blank range with woman and child in the car, right? Yet this monster was able to walk out with a weapon. He had just murdered 10 people. Lady said she thought she heard 70 shots. He just murdered 10 people with, and not a shot fired? Not one off his body armor? I don't think he was thrown to the ground or had a knee placed in his back. It looked like they were escorting him off the property. You know what I'm saying? If you see the picture of him, you know, like he just, okay, we got you. Shoplifted. I hope they didn't take him to Burger King on the way to jail. If anyone else is concerned about white people being replaced, start reproducing at a rate that white people will be replaced. That's the answer to that. Stop getting abortions, stop using birth control, and get busy. I just hope this message might reach somebody who's cleaning out their gun, trying to do what this guy did. Since you see that he didn't get gunned down or nothing like that, he's just going to jail, get 3 hots and a cop. That's not the way to reduce, to increase the population. You increase population by production. If you went to school, you would have learned that. Understand? If 18, you should have learned that through experience. But the hard way. But apparently, this guy's a little retarded. And I don't mean that in a excuse him kind of way. So, if you want to increase, you know, white population, you're concerned about white people being replaced, start reproducing. That's the way you do it. Newsflash, Caucasians, white people are the minority on the planet. So that's going to be a lot of, you know what. They plan to introduce a gun control package and all kinds of stuff like that, right? You know. These senseless, racially motivated acts will continue until the swift consequences outweigh the crime. So you don't know who's loading up right now, playing in their own little thing like this, right? It's going to continue until the swift consequences outweigh the crime. The swift consequences outweigh the crime. This murdering fool is on his way to, I don't know, how many life sentences, of which he can only serve once. 10 people, you give him 10 life sentences. What kind of nonsense is that? He only has one life. All this off the backs of relatives, friends, and citizens' tax dollars. He'll get three hots in the cot and continue to breathe air. That seems unfair. There are 10 people who took their last breath on the day they encountered this madman. It almost seems like mass murderers killing black folks have an excellent survival rate. So far, they appear to be doing better than unarmed black men. He has rights, yet he swiftly took every right the people he murdered away from them, right? With the precision pull of a trigger, right? Dressed for war, the ultimate form of extreme violence, he preferred folks, most over age 50, who were dressed to go to the grocery store as unwitting, unarmed combatants. Coward. Next, in the dictionary next to coward, should be a picture of this guy right here. Cowardly acts, this should go down as one of them. And last but not least, oh, first, anybody had anything they want to say about this this incident? And is anybody besides me just perplexed about how a man can murder 10 people, shoot 3, and still have the weapon in his hand when he comes out to approach law enforcement? Not one shot fired. He gets talked out of killing himself, which he could have done inside the store. That doesn't even make sense. I don't even understand that whole scenario. If there's no further comments, I'm going to go on to the next topic in the news. I don't know if too many people heard of this. Monkeypox. Y'all heard of chickenpox? Well, apparently it's a pox family. Smallpox, chickenpox, monkeypox. And I guess you can figure out where that came from, right? Anyway, scientists are baffled by monkeypox cases in Europe and the United States. That's right here, y'all. Just in case you didn't know. So they are baffled by the disease recent spread in Europe and North America. But in the past week, Britain, Spain, Portugal, Italy, U.S., Sweden, and Canada all reported infections, mostly in young men who hadn't previously traveled to Africa Africa's where this disease mostly is known for outbreaks, right? Numerous outbreaks in Africa, right? There are about 80 confirmed cases worldwide and 50 more suspected ones, says the World Health Organization, the WHO, the WHO, right? France, Germany, Belgium, and Australia reported their first cases, right? They say they're stunned by this. Every day they wake up and there are more countries infected. Said Ayewala Tomare, a virologist who formerly headed the Nigerian Academy of Science and who sits on several WHO advisory boards. He said, this is not the kind of spread we've seen in West Africa. So there may be something new happening in the West. He said, this thing is spreading, and the kind of spread is not the normal spread that they usually see. Well, that's very interesting. Is that something new, like the virus is getting some assistance spreading around the world? Maybe it's the outcome of some gainful function, or worse, some reckless, careless, ruthless, evil people fulfilling their agenda. It kind of feels like we're going to continue to experience plagues until the right plague comes around, doing what plagues are known to do, depopulate. Are we witnessing the prelude to a biological world depopulation? It's not like it has never been attempted. Somebody might be listening to me say that and say, oh, come on, guy. So history says, right? I'm on the History Channel, so they got a little thing on it. They say, history.com, let's say, North American colonists' warfare against Native Americans often was horrifying and brutal, right? But one method they appear to have used perhaps just once shocks even more than all the bloody slaughter. The gifting of blankets. They gave blankets and linens contaminated with smallpox. The virus causes a disease that can inflict disfiguring scars, blindness, and death. The tactic constitutes a cruel form of biological warfare. A cruel form of biological warfare. A crude form of biological warfare. But the accounts of the colonists using it are actually scant. They said not that many accounts of them doing that, right? Colonial weaponizing of smallpox against Native American was first reported by 19th century historian Francis Parkman. Came across correspondence in which Sir Geoffrey Amherst, commander in chief of the British forces in North America in the early 1760s, discussed its use with Colonel Henry Bonnet. Banquet, a subordinate on the western frontier during the French and Indian Wars, right? From historylink.org, this apparent first smallpox epidemic on the northwest coast coincides with the first direct European contact, most virulent of the deadly European diseases that will sweep over the region during the next 80 to 100 years. In his seminal book, The Coming of the Spirit of Pestilence, Robert Boyd estimates that the 1770s smallpox epidemic killed more than 11,000 Western Washington Indians, reducing the population from about 37,000 to 26,000. For all the outrage that accounts have stirred over the years, there's only one clearly documented instance of colonial attempts to spread smallpox during the war. And oddly, Amherst probably didn't have anything to do with it, they said. There's also no clear historical verdict on whether the biological attack even worked. It's also not clear whether the biological warfare had the intended effect, they said. Around that time, we know that smallpox was circulating in the area, but the Native Americans could have come down with the disease by other means, they said. I thought that was interesting. It's the intent that counts, and they say history repeats itself. It is convenient to suggest that the victims may have contracted smallpox, not from the smallpox-infected blankets they gave them, but mysteriously from somewhere else. Anything but the obvious. From today, the symptoms and causes of monkeypox infections, which the CDC calls an emerging issue, right? That means it's increasing. They say at least 85 cases of monkeypox have been reported in 10 countries across Europe and North America. And I said that, right? And in Australia, a rare occurrence for a virus largely confined to Central and Western Africa. The U.S. reported its first monkeypox of the year with a man in Massachusetts. New York City's health department said Thursday it is investigating a possible case as well. The UK, right? No, on Friday, they say France, Germany, Sweden, each have confirmed one case. Belgium and Canada have reported two, and Italy three. The UK case total is up 20. Portugal, 23. Spain, 30. Australia reported one case Friday to the traveler who recently returned from Britain. Most of these countries have more suspected cases, right? They just didn't confirm them, right? The last time the Western Hemisphere saw a monkeypox outbreak of this magnitude was in 2003. Y'all remember that? When the U.S. identified 47 cases. Anybody remember the monkeypox? Because I don't. Those patients had been in contact with infected pet prairie dogs, and none died. But these disease experts haven't pinpointed precisely how the virus is currently spreading. What we're facing right now seems to be at least a subset of cases that don't have a history of travel to one of those countries that, you know, they talked about in Africa, right? I'm assuming, because that's where it was originally relocated to, right? And also, don't report any exposure to someone who has been diagnosed with monkeypox. Well, how would they know? So what we're seeing right now is unusual, said Dr. Agam Rao, a medical officer at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention Division of High Consequence Pathogens and Pathology. Although monkeypox does not spread easily between people, they said, right? The CDC is preparing for additional cases in the U.S. CDC, that's the Center for Disease and Control, right? We're telling people this is an emergent issue. Some emergent issues end up becoming benign, right, and end, right? Other ones escalate. As an emerging issue, we're asking people to keep it top of mind at the moment. I don't know what that means. People to keep it top of mind. I don't know what that means. Monkeypox belongs to the family of pox viruses. I guess you could figure that out, right? You got smallpox, chickenpox, monkeypox, twopox, right? That's a little jokey joke right there. Anyway, but this is not a funny issue. Anyway, which includes smallpox, right? The disease got its name from scientists discovered it among laboratory monkeys in 1958. How did laboratory monkeys get it in 1958? That requires more research. First monkeypox case in human was diagnosed in 1970. indicated for the monkey. Since then, most infections have been concentrated in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Nigeria. The DRC, Democratic Republic of the Congo, reports thousands of cases annually, and Nigeria has reported more than 200 confirmed cases and more than 500 suspected cases since 2017. The type of monkeypox identified in recent U.S. and European cases tends to produce milder disease than other common branch of the virus, right? That's the good part, right? All the virus strains that we are aware of among all these cases that have occurred in the last 2 weeks are in West Africa, right? West African monkeypox is much more benign than the Congo, right? I don't know. That would make me look at the Congo and see what is in the Congo that somebody might want. Anyway, I'm just going to go ahead. There will not be a lot of bad things clinically that happen to people who might be infected, they said. 1% of the people who contract the West African monkeypox will die, compared to up to 10% who get the Congo, according to the WHO, right? People who get the West African monkeypox typically recover pretty well, they say. Go back to their regular lives when they get better, right? So how you get monkeypox? Right? Humans get monkeypox from animals, either from bites or scratches or preparing meat for wild game, according to the CDC. Person-to-person transmission can occur through the exchange of large respiratory droplets during prolonged face-to-face contact. People also get exposed to direct contact with bodily fluids. The lesions that form during an infection, contaminated items like clothing or bedding. That's very important because remember the smallpox thing with the blankets to the Indians, right? They try to say that, they could have got that from somewhere else. Not the contaminated blankets. Oh, no. Hell no. Right? Anyway, many of the newly identified cases in Europe are among men who have sex with men. That sounds like the AIDS thing. But monkeypox is not considered a sexually transmitted infection. Okay, so how's that happening? Is someone targeting men who have sex with men and monkeypox, maybe? Because that's a hell of a... Is it a monkeypox scientist somewhere that's homosexual, taking it out to the homosexual community? What's going on? It says it's premature and potentially even harmful to assume that there are only cases within that community. I would say so because you don't know who's homosexual. She added that the overrepresentation of this group may simply be a product of skin-to-skin contact within a tight-knit community. Really? Anyway, they're going to need to be studies related to trying to isolate the virus from seminal fluid, vaginal fluid. There's really quite a lot of work that needs to be done, they say, right? Seems like they would have done work. This thing been around, right? And seems like work has been done, but you'll see. Monkeypox typically starts with a flu-like symptom such as a fever, headache. With a flu-like symptom such as fever, headache, muscle aches, and exhaustion. You get tired, right? They develop a rash on their face, upper parts of the body within 1 to 3 days of the fever. The rash can look similar to the chickenpox, syphilis, or herpes. But a distinguishing feature is fluid-filled blisters called vesicles on the palms of the hand. All right, so wash your hands, right? Symptoms can develop anywhere from 5 to 21 days, right, after being infected, right? Most people recover after 2 or 4 weeks. The CDC instructed healthcare providers to look out for patients with the characteristics of monkeypox rash, particularly those caring for patients within STD clinics. Why? If it's not sexually transmitted, why are you particularly looking at patients in STD clinics? So far, I mean, that's an excellent way to get rid of a population is to get it into the reproduction tract and spread that. Either impair the reproductive system or kill. Right? I'm just throwing it out there. Where do monkeypox come from? Anyway, they said that recent infections appear to be reasonably mild cases that have been filed through clinics, not because people are presenting severely ill to the emergency room. So what treatments are available? Since there's less immunity to pox, how much time we got? 15 more minutes. To the pox viruses than there was before 1980 when people still received smallpox vaccine. Did y'all know that? Because I didn't. But I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen, so me not knowing that doesn't really mean anything. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that they had smallpox vaccines in 1980. We no longer, they said, it's not surprising that we're seeing infections as a result of exposures, given that we no longer have that immunity that we counted on during the eradication of smallpox era. There are some experimental drugs that have not been widely tested in people. Doctors who identify a suspected monkeypox case should report it to the CDC, right? Smallpox vaccines could help control monkeypox outbreak, according to the CDC. The U.S. stopped vaccinating the general public for smallpox in 1972. In 2019, though, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, approved of a smallpox vaccine that also protects people from monkeypox, but it's not widely available. Experts think that the vaccine could help reduce symptoms or prevent disease if administered shortly after someone gets infected. That sounds so familiar. How can a smallpox vaccine prevent monkeypox infection or reduce symptoms? From this guy, I saw this Alexander COVID news evidence-based medicine convoy mandate, right? I thought this was very interesting. I'm going to breeze through because I'm running out of time. Smallpox vaccine to prevent monkeypox could cause global smallpox virola, right? Epidemic. I warn, do not be that stupid. Understand that you have damaged the immune system of the billions with COVID vaccines, he said. This guy said the COVID vaccines have impaired our immune systems. Experts are saying that smallpox vaccine is 85% effective or monkeypox. He said this is not good news for millions. Billions are now immunocompromised from the COVID vaccine. Smallpox vaccine potential reintroduction of smallpox. In 1960, serious adverse effects were associated with smallpox vaccine. 1 million vaccinations. Progressive vaccinia, 1.5 million vaccinations. Eczema and vaccinatum, 39 million vaccinations. Post-vaccinial, I don't even know how to say this word, encephalitis, 12 million vaccines. Generalized vaccinia, 240 million vaccines. Adverse events were approximately 10 times more common among those vaccinated for the first time compared to revaccinated. Fatality rates were also 4 times higher for primary vaccines compared to revaccines. First, COVID vaccination persons have depressed, subverted immune systems. They say that's documented, and thus are at risk for latent and existing pathogens and cancers that would not have affected them prior. Very valid to our conjecture on this, right? This includes monkeypox and now the reported cases of monkeypox. COVID-vaccinated persons could be at dramatic risk to monkeypox. Next, it's true that persons under 40 years old do not have the smallpox vaccine, a vaccine that has had a questionable history as to safety. Yet, the real issue is the catastrophic outcome should we vaccinate millions and millions with smallpox vaccines who have subverted immune systems now due to the suboptimal non-sterilizing COVID vaccine. He said, I warn by taking people who have compromised immunity as are COVID vaccinated persons, i.e. increased risk of infection and are getting infected post-vaccine. And as such, immunocompromised, and you give them the smallpox vaccine for monkeypox, right? Arthropox virus prevention. You could create devastation, they said. COVID-vaccinated persons are immunocompromised. Vaccinated persons, the smallpox vaccine can potentially then drive cases of smallpox as well as vaccinia and subverted immunity. If your immune system is compromised, they said this smallpox vaccine is going to harm you. Immunocompromised COVID vaccinated persons, including amongst young people and children, this is at present a theoretical risk, but can become a reality if how I explained it above is so. All right, the smallpox vaccine is based on vaccination with vaccinia virus. It's known, no mass vaccination, they said. Again, smallpox vaccine has serious safety issues and can be deadly, driving smallpox or vaccinia in the area of depressed immune system in persons vaccinating with COVID vaccines. Wow. Woo! Now, that's a lot. Just when you thought, the storm was over, comes monkeypox. Then this guy comes up with some stuff about, it's 85% effective, but if you had the vaccine, it's not a happy ending for you. Smallpox in the U.S., they say, was eradicated in 1972. No one was required to receive a smallpox vaccine. And 2019, the FDA approved a smallpox vaccine for treatment of an eradicated disease, right? Smallpox, right? To protect people from monkeypox. I don't get it. Now monkeypox is threatening, and there happens to be a smallpox vaccine that could help reduce symptoms or prevent disease. That is a familiar scenario and a hell of a coincidence. Wikipedia says smallpox is a contagious, disfiguring, and often deadly disease that has affected humans for thousands of years. Naturally occurring smallpox was wiped out worldwide by 1980s, the result of an unprecedented global immunization campaign. Unprecedented global immunization campaign. The initial symptoms of the disease include fever and vomiting. Wow. Somehow I suspect we're headed for a few more global plagues. A global immunization campaign, that sounds very familiar too. And I'm running out of time, y'all. Did anybody have anything they want to say about monkeypox and using the smallpox vaccine as a defense against monkeypox and the fact the issue that the claimant, this guy says that your immune system is compromised if you receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, that's nothing new. We had guys saying that in the beginning of this whole vaccine trial. Guys are saying that there's a lady on the internet saying basically the first shot take you down to 75%, the next shot, another 25%,
No, 50%. Next shot, 25%. That's the booster. Then the next one, 100% immune. Then you're dependent on getting a shot to boost your immune system, or, you know, whatever you need, you know. So, anyway, that's it, y'all. You know, that's in the news for the day. And I thought that was very interesting, you know, everything, you know, how we got 50 billion for Ukraine, and we got homelessness over here. Come on, these put people in a house, put shoes on their feet, feed them. Everybody that want, you know. And then we got a man who can shoot 10 people. No, he shot 13, murdered 10, cold blood, body armor, looking like he went going to Afghanistan to go to war, right? And he gets to walk out of the supermarket, put the gun to his neck. How? That's something like that, I'm telling you. I don't know how they, and they talked him down. After he just killed 10, he just showed you, I'm a lethal person. He just killed 10 people. He was able to walk out with a rifle, AR-15 or something. Put it to his neck. How's he moving a gun without getting shot? We got people getting shot with no gun. They don't have a gun. That's real. Black folks getting shot, don't have a gun. This guy killed 10. Walks out with a gun in his hand, not a shot fired. I don't know. But I have my suspicions. Until next week, y'all, I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, my callers and listeners, and the creator. Always, always a pleasure. And I see you guys next week. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out, y'all.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.